Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you. Great to have you with us on this Thursday in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Believe it or not, the Sunbury Motors Studio is actually populated today.
I'm glad to be here, Stephen, the Chateau, with you.
First time you've been in here.
Absolutely.
Check out this setting. This is pretty good, huh?
I haven't seen a setup like this since I was on the deck of the Starship Enterprise with Captain Kirk.
Yeah, this really is unbelievable.
It is.
Right.
Who'd you have put this in? The National Security Agency? I mean,
literally. Now, when this was done, boy, this is 2.5, almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, if you want to adjust your level, it's one of these here in terms of your headphone level. Whichever one it is, I don't know which one.
Got to be one of those three or four.
Yeah. So just pick whatever one and work whatever you can with it. And when they came in, Harry came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Roger was here. Drew Kelly was here. Notice who wasn't here.
Yes, there's one fella that...
Yeah, not here.
Not here, no.
Yeah. And so the four of us picked out this room, mapped it all out. I mean, Harry mapped it out. Roger mapped it out. I mean, you're talking about guys that have been in radio forever. They are far more brilliant in terms of doing something like this than I could ever conceive of being. I'm supposed to be on this side and am allegedly supposed to say something intelligent.
Exactly.
But in terms of design, but they asked me what I did want in it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, it was their idea to put in, obviously, three mics that we have here. So you're taking one right now. And there's still one open. So if we had a second guest, we could have another guest over there as well. So we have three in here. Phone, obviously, to do interviews, which every once in a while you hear a ring in the background. That's usually some telemarketer.
Yeah.
But I've used that phone how many times to do interviews? Over time, including the one time we got Patrick McEnroe from Melbourne.
He was doing the Aussie Open, I remember.
The Australian Open. And we did that. And so, but then over here for, now I'm explaining to everybody in the air what we have in here, right? Two CD players back to back. So when you hear, for example, the Nittany Lion update show.
Yes.
Or Inside Penn State Athletics, it's called now. This is where I play the commercials and the open on these here, all in CDs. Okay. Then I have down here, as we give everybody this informal tour of what we have.
Yeah.
Here. This is a mini disc player where if I want to take separate entities of interviews and put them together, I can do this. If you remember the Joe Paterno show, I did the half hour special on the retrospective of his life in his own words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where he talked about everything, right? Well, I cut all of that up and played them off of here, and that's how I did that. And then last but not least, there's this baby down there. That's the phone bridge that allows me to do the interviews if I wish.
You know, it's amazing.
I have everything in here that you could possibly ask to have somebody to put in that if we wanted to do, for example, say something happened and we had to do the Penn State Network talk show in here with James Franklin, we could do it and feed the entire network.
It's amazing what gizmos and gadgets Roger and the team were able to come up with. But you know what strikes my the most is the portable bar and the beer keg that's right over here somewhere in the background.
That was actually my touch there.
Oh, okay.
They didn't know about that.
Oh, okay. But it's fabulous down here in the chateau.
Oh no, really, if there's a nuclear attack, we can broadcast from here and be safe.
Absolutely, and that's where I'm heading when I get the warning.
We're down here in the bunker.
Yes, exactly. It does double as an air raid shelter, et cetera, et cetera.
Kyle, I know you're in again today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Because Kevin's birthday was yesterday, and It's a two-day extravaganza.
Yeah, the first day was just the warm-up.
It's just embarrassing.
Yes. We don't want
to
even...
I mean, Bob, have you taken your birthday off?
You know, in 62 years, I can't remember a day.
No. No, I've always worked on mine. I've done a lot of games on mine as well.
I'll bet you have.
Yeah. What?
Well, little known fact, Steve, I think, you know, the issue with why Kevin wasn't a part of the installation for you in the studio was... I believe it was probably also on his birthday.
Actually, it wasn't, but...
it might as well have been.
But it might as well have been. You know, I it's Kevin.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in the studio tomorrow, Bob?
Yes, I plan on it.
Good. Big trade day today, obviously, in the major leagues.
Yeah, the deadline is, what, midnight tonight, Steve?
No, the deadline is actually in 40 minutes.
Oh, really?
Now, let's explain how this works. This is me. You can make a trade up until 4 o'clock this afternoon, and you don't need... You can just trade anybody on your roster.
Right.
You can do whatever you want, you know, unless they have a no-trade clause or a specific team, so forth. After this... Then a player must clear waivers between now and August 31st,
right?
In order to be traded, and that's where the game is played of blocking, claiming, and so forth. But if you go through and you're unclaimed on waivers, you can make a deal. Take for example the Pirates. We'll be talking to Tim Neverett, the Pirates play announcer, in a few moments. He's going to be joining us from Phoenix today as the Pirates get ready for the Arizona Diamondbacks later tonight. And we'll be talking to Tim in just a few minutes. Last year, the Pirates made two key acquisitions in Justin Morneau and Marlon Byrd.
Tried to get some power, some oomph in the lineup. Right.
But both of those were actually made after July 31st. So both Byrd and Morneau cleared waivers, and then they made the trade. So that's not out of the realm of possibility that you make a deal after this is over with. But today, you don't have to worry about that.
Now, must the trade actually be completed and reported to wherever you report trades, I assume the league office, by the stroke of 4 p.m. today? Or can you sort of do it at 3:59 and then tell the rest of the world at 5 o'clock?
Right, you can do that. As long as you've told the major league office that, you know, it's in play or in place in terms of what's going to happen by 4, they'll give you a few extra minutes if you're going to do something. But most teams at this stage, the Red Sox have made the two big deals of the day.
Okay.
And the two big deals of the day, John Lester is expected traded, but unexpectedly goes to Oakland.
Everyone thought Pittsburgh.
Right. But this goes back to what I talked about yesterday, Bob. If I'm going to make a deal, I am not big on, hey, give me 4 prospects. Because in reality, I don't know what I'm getting. It's too much of a roll of the dice as to what you're getting on prospects. Look at what the Phillies did, for example, with Hunter Pence. None of those guys have panned out.
No, and Hunter's just kicking butt everywhere he goes. He's what a trade that was. For the team that got him and not for the Phillies.
Right. So the Giants got him, and he's played well for them. It was a big reason why they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've said, look, I want to get guys that I know can play the game, that I know at this level can play. So the Red Sox traded John Lester to the A's, and they got Yoenis Cespedes out of it.
And who can even pronounce that, let alone...
I mean, that's Joe Castiglione and Dave O'Brien's fault.
Yep.
But Yoenis Cespedes goes to the Red Sox. Now, a team that has been completely deficient of outfield power, that has a tradition of great outfield power.
Huge outfield power.
I mean, a tradition of it. From Williams to Yastrzemski to Rice to Evans to Lynn, you know, all the way through. I mean, this is what they have for Manny Ramirez. They've always had a tradition of great out. They have had no outfield power to speak of all year.
In a park that really loves outfield power.
Lends itself to it. This guy has the ability, you know, I said, look at the home runs he hits in the home run derby. But he'll be able to wear out the left field wall. Okay? That's one. The other one was trading John Lackey. They dealt him to the St. Louis Cardinals. in exchange for Joe Kelly. So that's a right-handed pitcher they can plug in, a good number three starter for most teams. Good number three. And Alan Craig, the former State College Spike who was in the All-Star game. The Craig last year hit over 400 with runners in scoring position. This year has slumped. He has not performed as well. I think the change of scenery for Allen will be really good. And he started his career here in State
and
College.
And he's a proven commodity.
Exactly.
And so that's something good. It sounds like when you're picking winners and losers, Steve, that maybe Boston didn't do all that badly today. They got some things they needed. Oakland got a pitcher that they were looking for who can really produce.
Well, Oakland now has Sonny Gray, Scott Kazmir, Jeff Smarja.
Got him from the Cubbies.
Okay. Hamill, that they got from the Cubs as well, Jason Hamill. And now they have John Lester, who ends up being the guy that is going to be their number one starter. The Red Sox get Alan Craig and Joe Kelly out of this. The Cardinals also got Corey Luttrell and Cash from the Red Sox as part of this trade, too. And then, of course, they traded Jake Peavy. By the way, Johnny Gomes also goes to the A's.
Okay.
So that's part of it, because Gomes wasn't going to fit in with what they were going to do. So that's how things have changed. So with Craig gone, look for Oscar Tavares to see more time in right field for the Cardinals. Kelly's had a hamstring injury. He's been out. And he's going to, and look, the Red Sox have stated really in no uncertain terms, hey, look, 2014's over.
Yeah, season's gone.
We're playing for 2015. But what they've done with these trades is that instead of saying we're rebuilding in 2015, they actually formed a foundation for 2015. So this is different. That's why I'm not big on, hey, we got all these prospects.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo. I could care less because, look, I watch prospects on an every
Yeah, you
night
see
basis.
Them every night at the State College Spikes.
It gives you a completely different view on what prospects are.
Sure.
Completely different view. When I look at guys here, what do I always talk about, Bob?
Well,
do I think they can get to Double A?
Yeah.
I never one time tell you I think that guy can get to the majors. Never.
Too many variables in between on a lot of stops.
No question. Look, I announced Alan Craig's first season as a professional. The entire season.
Right.
He hit, I think, 257 in here.
Shaking it up.
But it was a better 257 than that because the first 3 weeks of the season, he was hitting in the low 100s.
A little homesick, probably.
Time change.
Absolutely.
Getting
all those
used
things.
To it, the whole thing. Because, playing, But then after that, he hit around 300 the rest of the way, and he did make the New York Penn League All-Star team. All right? But I'm not going to sit here and tell you I thought Alan Craig was a major league player. When he came here, he was a shortstop.
There's a lot of single-A sensations that get as far as Double-A.
But he was a shortstop.
Yeah.
All right. And I remember talking to Mark Dijon, who was the manager here. This was the first 3 weeks. Dijon's like, I can't believe we drafted this guy in the eighth round out of California. I said, give him a little bit of time. I said, look, he's not. He says, well, he's not a shortstop. Look at him. And I said, I know he's not a shortstop. I said, but... He said, I'm going to have to play the guy at third base. I said, well, in the majors, he's probably an outfielder first baseman. Right?
And
he says to me, yeah, you're probably right, but I got to stick him at third. Right? And they put him at third, and of course, now he's an outfielder first baseman in the majors. Right?
Amazing how that happened.
But again, I looked at him as, okay, I know he can get the Double-A.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, they had another kid that year named Nathan Southern. They drafted out of Tulane. Heck of a prospect.
Right?
Heck of a prospect. All right. He was out of baseball a year later.
Things do happen.
I mean, I liked him. I thought he was going to go someplace.
Yeah, he went home.
I thought he was going to go to Double A.
Yeah.
Right? Now he works for Triple A. No, I'm just kidding. All right, bottom of the hour. Tim Everett of the Pirates coming up in just a few minutes. But first, a Sports Center update. Kevin is on vacation today because it's his birthday.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
That's just fabulous. Yeah. I may have my birthday off coming up pretty soon.
I think
it's on a weekend.
All right. Could be a whole week.
News bottom of the hour, then more with Tim Neverett and more on the deals today and Ray Rice.
Where Sealands Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
White House says UN school shelling is indefensible. AccuWeather says we'll see some showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon and evening. High today 80, cloudy overnight with a low 59. Good afternoon, I'm Sarah Bartlett, WKOK News. The White House says there is little doubt Israeli artillery hit a United Nations school in Gaza and is casting the shelling as totally unacceptable and totally indefensible. A White House spokesman cited statements from the UN blaming Israel for the shelling, as well as the Israeli government's acknowledgement that it was firing in the area of the school. The spokesman says that while the U.S. supports a full investigation into the matter, it does not appear there's a lot of doubt about whose artillery was involved. The Peace Corps is removing its volunteers from three African countries after two volunteers tested positive for deadly Ebola virus. One of the volunteers is Dr. Kent Brantley of Texas. The other one is Nancy Reitbull of Charlotte. She's a missionary with Samaritan's Purse, a relief organization headed by evangelist Franklin Graham. Reitbull is now being treated in isolation. Her church held a vigil for her Wednesday. The Centers for Disease Control say 670 people have now died in West Africa from Ebola. The head of the Pennsylvania State Police says he hopes the U.S. Justice Department will withdraw a lawsuit that claims the agency's physical fitness standards for recruits discriminates against women. Commissioner Frank Noonan spoke yesterday, a day after the federal government filed the lawsuit describing what it calls a pattern of discrimination. The lawsuit says nearly all male recruits pass the initial physical fitness test, while about 30% of women flunk it. The federal government says the tests aren't job-related and aren't consistent with business necessity. Noonan says the state police won't be bullied into changing and lowering their standards. For 10 consecutive years, Ashley Brubaker of Sealands Grove has been hosting Ashley's Auction at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. Of course, it's all part of the 94KX Cares for Kids Radiothon. Last year, Ashley raised more than $26,700. Her mother, Deb Brubaker, says Ashley likes to set big goals for herself.
She does set her sights high. This year, she set it for $30,000, which would be the most that she's ever raised, and I think she's going to reach it. We are reaching more people than we ever thought imaginable.
There will be hundreds of items to bid on, and you can see all of them at ashleysauctionwebsite.com. The auction is Saturday at the Susquehanna Valley Mall starting at 10 a.m., with the bids wrapping up at 3 p.m. for the silent auction, and the live auction will begin at 3:15 p.m. AccuWeather says some showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon into the evening, a high 80, and then cloudy overnight with a low 59. Times of clouds and sun tomorrow, a couple of showers with a high 80. Over the weekend, mostly cloudy with a shower and thunderstorm around Saturday, high 79. Sunday, cloudy and humid, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. Sunday's high, again, 79. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's back to the Steve Jones Show right after this on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. I mean, we are in the Sunbury Motor Studio.
We're here. We're cooking.
I mean, this is Bob. This is broadcast heaven.
It is. This is like the space age, in front of the space age, really. It's just amazing, Stephen. And as I said, as you are fond of saying, we're in the chateau.
Yes, yes, a fancy word for home.
Exactly. All right. For all those people in Mossdale, that's in French.
Hi, you.
Exactly.
It's spelled with a C. All right.
It is.
Not an S. All right. Let's talk a little pirate baseball. Oh. Let's go to Phoenix now, and let's bring in the one of the play-by-play voices of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Tim Neverett, where the Pirates are getting ready to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tim, welcome. Great to have you with us, my friend.
Thanks for asking. Trading deadline's been an interesting day where the Cardinals, without Michael Wacha, pick up John Lackey, but they give up Alan Craig and Joe Kelly in the process. Your reaction when you saw that, because the Lester trade has no effect on the Pirates at all, but this one does.
Yeah, it does a little bit. And I think that, you know, from the Pirates' standpoint, this year, Alan Craig was not the Alan Craig of 2013. Alan Craig just destroyed Major League pitching last year. And his batting average with runners in scoring position was super ridiculous. It was over, I think, the high threes. I think he was over four. He was almost 4.5.
Right.
The team itself was in the high threes. This year, that's not the case. And he's really been struggling with St. Louis, not even close to where he was a year ago. So that didn't surprise me. I thought that he would probably be a trade target because of his performance this year. Teams still feeling that in a change of scenery, he might have a resurgence. But Joe Kelly, there's a guy who has given the Pirates fits. He is a young guy. He throws the ball hard. Does a lot of good things, and he's a pretty good pitcher. I think he's going to help the Red Sox. Lackey's a guy that Pirates are familiar with from spring training, but it's spring training.
Right.
So it's just another major league pitcher. No matter who they get, I guess you kind of have to look at it in a way that they're not getting anybody better than Adam Wainwright, and you already faced the guy that's their best anyway. So, as Clint Hurdle always says, hey, this is the big leagues, and, you're going to face good pitching every night. So now the Pirates will have to face John Lackey, and Cardinals are trying to do something because they notice where they are. It's turning into a three-team race instead of a four-team race in the division. The Pirates are right in the middle of it.
And they are absolutely in the middle of it. Now, it should be pointed out that while we talk about the trade deadline, that doesn't mean trades can't be made after today through August 31st. It just means you have to clear waivers. Is it your sense the Pirates, even though they wouldn't mind acquiring a key piece, are comfortable with what they have right now?
It's my sense that they probably are practically comfortable. I think they're always looking to improve, no matter what time of the year it is. And if they can do it by making a trade without having to do anything with waivers, then they've got to do it today, and they're running out of time. If not, remember Marlon Byrd and Justin Morneau came over in August last year.
Right.
So it's possible. It's a little more difficult because you might have a team that might claim somebody in order to block them from going to another team. But, this is the time where are we anxious? People who follow the team and are with the team every day, are we anxious to see what's going to happen? Yeah. But we just have to wait and see. I know the Pirates folks have been working hard for several weeks on this. And, they were making inroads on all the best guys available. And that's something, too, Steve, that hasn't always been the case in Pirate Land. Now they're in a position where they can at least get in the conversation with the top guys, where, a handful of years back, that was laughable to think that would even happen. But now things have changed so much and expectations are higher, and this team is certainly a legitimate playoff contender now, and that's quite a relief.
There is no question they were serious in the Lester trade talks. I mean, and that is no question a step that you would not have seen 3 years ago even.
No, and, people look at that situation between the Pirates and Red Sox, and the general managers went to the same college. They have that kind of pedigree from Amherst College in Massachusetts. Both Ben Cherington and Neil Huntington went to the same place, played baseball at Amherst. And, so there's a little bit of similarity there. Does that factor in? No, but does it get Neil in the door on certain things? Yeah, and would it get Cherington in the door on certain things? Absolutely. But whether or not it's the best fit for the organization, whatever moves they proposed, apparently the Oakland A's had the best fit, and that was Yoenis Cespedes. So the Red Sox end up getting a big-time slugger who has more home runs than their entire outfield combined right now. So they've added some offense. And I think what the Red Sox are doing, Steve, is building for next year. I think they realize they're done, and they are trying to build for next year, not trying to build to the point where they're rebuilding, but stockpile so that they can come out and be a contender in 2015.
And you and I have something in common, too. You and I have driven past Amherst now.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Of all the places we've been, that's one of them, right?
Exactly. Now, when you make a trade, it also does change a bit of the chemistry in the clubhouse. The Pirates right now have been going along in a pretty good role here for a little while. How do you feel about the chemistry in that clubhouse?
I think the chemistry is good.
Yeah.
I think it's really good, and they ran into this a couple of seasons ago, and Neil had said after the fact that was his fault, and that he did upset the chemistry in the clubhouse two seasons back, and he said he wouldn't do it again. So I think that, you know, whatever move they make, and I know they've got to still be trying to make moves at this point in time, or a move. I do know that they made a waiver claim, I guess. Trying to find that for you here. Yeah. Right-handed pitcher Angel Sanchez from the White Sox. They claimed him. I'm not sure what kind of significance that has at this moment in time, but that's at least what one national reporter has reported today. But that's not the splash the Pirates are trying to make. And obviously the splash, if they could make it, would be to get a guy like David Price from the Tampa Bay Rays, which I still think they're in the conversations. They're either have had the conversations and the decision's been made one way or the other. I think they're close enough to the deadline where they know what they're going to do by now.
Right. Let's talk about things have gone along well. What about the base running part of it? We saw Travis Snyder obviously have a train wreck yesterday.
Travis Snyder, and let's give credit where credit is due. Gabby Sanchez also, because all Gabby had to do was stand at third base. He did not have to move, and the Pirates still would have had a man at third. And his comment after the game saying, "Well, I wanted to get in a rundown so Travis could get to third." Why? You're already at third,
right?
You know, Travis made the mistake. He's going to be out. Let him be out. Let the inning continue. You got a chance to add on. And I think that, and I have never, ever seen that before, and I hope I never, ever see that again. That was worse than Little League, and that's worse than an eight-year-old. I could not believe that. And Travis couldn't believe it after the fact. And when you've just been sacrificed over to second, you know there's nobody behind you at first.
Right.
So, I mean, he took a pitch off. He had a mental breakdown, and those mental mistakes proved costly. And push comes to shove, that had a big impact on the game.
We're with Pirates broadcaster Tim Nevert as the Pirates get ready to open up a series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pirates have been on a roll, playing well. They're in the thick of it in the division, the thick of it of the playoff race. Pedro Alvarez, has there been any thought ever, Tim, of playing him at first base, especially with the emergence of Josh Harrison, who could play third?
Been a lot of conversation, but it's all been external. I talked to Clint Hurdle one day about that a few weeks back, and he said that he's got a lot on his plate right now, and they don't want to add something as major as that, as major as a position change.
Right.
So I wouldn't see it at all. I wouldn't expect it at all. If they threw him a first baseman's glove in late October and said, "Hey, go find someplace private to try to work on this," that wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, at third base, night in and night out, he can catch the ball as good as anybody. He is as far as catching the ball, he is an above average defender.
Yeah.
As far as throwing the ball, this year has been his worst year ever. I think it's been well documented that he just he's got the thing. He can't make the easy throw, and that's been a problem. I think the game against the Dodgers, when Josh Beckett hit a one hopper down to him, and Beckett basically gave himself up, didn't even run, and Pedro threw it in the third row. Actually, it wasn't the third row. He underthrew it, and Ike Davis had no chance to catch it. And it's really wearing on Pedro. He's showing his mental toughness by not letting it show.
Right.
He's working hard on it every day. He's got that coupled with some hitting issues. Every time he hits an opposite field flare, that's not what the Pirates want out of Pedro Alvarez. They want him to be hitting home runs. They want him to be pulling the ball, going gap to gap, hitting doubles, driving in runs. That's the type of player that he has been. That's the type of player he was last year, and that's the type of player they want to get him back to being. They still believe that he can play third base. If they can get this throwing thing straightened out, then I think he'll be staying at third base.
Right. We can talk about a series of players that you count on all the time. But what has the offensive emergence of Jordy Mercer meant to solidifying the lineup?
Oh, it's been tremendous. He had such a poor April.
Yeah.
He could only go up from April. May he did. June was better. July he's been better. And since May 31st, I believe that's the line of demarcation if you go back and look at his numbers. Since May 31st, he has the second-best batting average of any National League shortstop, behind only Troy Tulowitzki of Colorado, who's leading the league in hitting. So You couple that with his improved defense. He is now looked at not only by his teammates and the coaching staff and the manager, but by others around baseball as being a more than dependable shortstop. And if you have a dependable shortstop that's going to provide you offense, then you're going to have a guy who's going to be able to play for anybody. And I think that Jordy has developed. We've watched him develop in front of our eyes. He was so defensively. He watched Clint Barmas, learned from Clint Barmas, would speak to Clint a lot about different things. And Barmas had a big impact on him defensively. And now Jordy's making plays behind second base. He's making, you know, plays in the hole. He's able to load up and double clutch and really fire. And it shows off his arm. It's, you know, remember, he was a closer as well as a shortstop in college.
Right.
So he was a pitcher. He's got pitching in his background, but he's got a very strong arm, and we're seeing that. And I think the emergence of Jordy Mercer helps take a lot of the questions about the shortstop with the Pirates out of the equation. We've heard questions about that position for the last handful to 7 years, and I think Jordy could solidify himself as a guy who could be a dependable everyday guy for a handful of years to come.
One final question, Tim, then I'll let you go. We're talking about acquiring guys, and to me, the way Francisco Liriano has come back and pitched, it's almost like they acquired Francisco Liriano again. Getting Gerrit Cole back, would that be, and say he were to be close to the Gerrit Cole that we saw last year, would that be almost the equivalent of acquiring a quality pitcher down the stretch?
I think that's a very good way of looking at it, because Gerrit Cole has had a difficult season. Two stints on the DL. He elected not to go on rehab his first time he was on the DL, came back and got lit up. He wasn't ready and realized it. So this time when he went on the DL, there was no question he was going on a rehab. And not only one start, but he's got another start coming up. And in his first start Monday against Rochester for Indianapolis, he did very well. And he'll try to get to 100 pitches this next time out, and he's ready to compete. And I think you're going to see a much more determined Gerrit Cole when he comes back off the disabled list. And I think you're right. I think people forget that. Even though the Pirates pitchers have been doing well, I mean, how about the effort of Vance Worley the other night in San Francisco? A complete game. He was just dominant start to finish. But you're getting good starts. And you know, where do you put all these guys? If you do acquire David Price or you do acquire another starting pitcher, where do you put them? Who goes where? These are problems the Pirates have. They're good problems to have. But reacquiring Francisco Liriano, yeah, because he was a different guy at the beginning of the season than he is right now. And the hope is that when Gerrit Cole comes back, he's a different guy than he was toward the middle of the season. So I think that is a great way to put that, and I think those two guys can be big factors down the stretch when it comes to starting pitching.
Tim, as always, as you know, great respect on my part for your work. Thanks a lot for the time you gave us today.
Well, thanks, Steve. I know you're getting ready for football, huh?
Yeah, I'm gearing up, Tim. I'm gearing up. I can't put on the pads fast enough.
Yeah, it won't be long.
No, it won't. Hey, thanks so much, Tim.
All right, we'll see you later.
That is Tim Nevert, play-by-play voice of the Pirates, joining us from Phoenix. Bob and I will come back from the Sunbury Motor Studio. The complete Kevin Hurl analysis. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't. It's his birthday. I don't get what we're doing with him.
Yeah, exactly. The guy has a birthday. It's like a big deal. I mean, come on. It's just one more year in your life there, Kevin. It's okay.
Here are two key words I want Kevin to remember when it comes to his birthday. Man up. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Dr. Buhner's in the house.
Tim Neverth, interesting comments about the Pirates. They're in the thick of it in the Central Division of the National League.
No question.
They've got some opportunities coming up.
Well, they're in the thick of it, and sometimes the best move you make is the one you don't make. And I think that is always something that if they had a chance to acquire, for example, John Lester, that would have been a great move for the Pirates to make. But since the A's came up with a better package, look, the Red Sox are going to want Yonis Cespedes more than they're going to want Pedro Alvarez.
Yes.
Okay. Simple as that. You know, a big bat, right-handed bat that you want attacking the left field wall as opposed to a left-handed power bat. Left-handed power bats, by the way, have traditionally worked well in Fenway. David Ortiz, Fred Lynn, mm-hmm. Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski. They've always worked well in Fenway Park.
But Pedro Alvarez is not good trade bait.
No, it's just not. And it doesn't work. And plus, I think Cespedes has more on his contract anyway. So you change the dynamics of that. The Phillies have made a major mistake in all of this by not doing anything.
Surprising.
The Phillies are in it. This is the spot you're in. You know how I feel about trading for prospects, mm-hmm. which you and I have talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Except in the Phillies' case, I would do it. Because what the Phillies need to do is they need to clear salaries and then give themselves a world of options to then change the dynamics of the club.
And they've got an older, we could say mature team
yeah.
with some excellent players who maybe are not past their prime, but they're coming up to the line of their prime.
Well, you know, Chase Utley's 35.
Yep.
Jimmy Rollins certainly longer in the tooth now, without question. There's a reason why he's a 10-5 guy, because he's been with them at least 10 years
yeah.
and 5. Ryan Howard, that contract's a disaster.
And you pointed that out about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Just awful. And the Phillies are paying the price for that bad
yeah.
decision.
It's the contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the guy. It's yep. the contract. Look. Ryan Howard didn't go in with an AK-47 and said, look, I want $25 million a year.
Or else.
They actually went to him and said, you know, we think this is a good idea. And he sat there and went, son of a gun, so do I.
Exactly. Amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Yeah, everybody's like we're all happy together.
Yeah, well, that was day one of a long-term deal. Year three, I think it is, we're in, are we not? Isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, year three, not so much.
And you're talking about a guy who's had an Achilles, he's had a knee injury,
yeah.
and that's the risk you take. Look, I agree with the original premise of Ruben Amaro. Let's take a core group of guys and then let's build a club around them. Okay. Ryan Howard, Chase Utley would be two guys that most people would pick. I would have picked an outfielder.
Because they don't really have one.
Right.
They had Hunter Pence, and they left.
See, Jimmy Rollins would have been the guy I would have said adios to and kept Hunter Pence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Love the way Pence plays, power guy, outfield, Ruiz, and then a couple of pitchers. Well, the premise works, except Howard is a shell of himself compared to where he was before physically. Utley, despite having a great year this year, has been in and out of the lineup now for 3 years. Rollins
yeah.
has been a... The Mike Schmidt, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame conversation. Yeah, he deserves to be talked about, but he is far from a Hall of Famer. He's not that.
No.
You don't sit there and say, there isn't anybody I know that looks at Jimmy Rollins and says, you know, that's one of the great shortstops of our time.
Yeah, can't wait for him to get to Cooperstown.
Right.
I don't think that conversation's happening.
The only way he's going to Cooperstown is if Bob and I drive him up there for an induction ceremony as a guest.
Exactly.
We'll talk more about that in the next hour. We're from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 to 15. Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.